Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day, together by the radio, open His Word and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we look in the Word of God today. We're turning our Bible to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 18, and we continue our study on the life of Elijah. You remember, I pointed out to you that throughout the life of Elijah, we were to learn one lesson, and that is that obedience is the key. That is the most outstanding lesson that I know of that there is for you and I to learn from the life of Elijah. Had it not been for his obedience, the story of Elijah would not have been worthy of God putting it in his Bible, and it would not have been worthy of our reading. We looked at the different experiences in the life of Elijah, and we found that we're to learn a lesson from each of these experiences concerning obedience. First of all, we learn from the brook experience that obedience is the key to God's provision, and that also bleeds over into the second story. But in the second story, the barrel experience, we learn that obedience is the key to God's programming, God's timing. And we saw as Elijah obeyed God that he got him to the gate of the city of Zarephath at the right moment. And in my mind, I still wonder what would have happened if Elijah had not obeyed God and moved exactly as God told him to in the program of God. Now we're in chapter number 18, and we're looking at the third story in the life of Elijah. And here we're looking at obedience is the key to the power of God in prayer. God's prayer answering comes as we obey God. The Bible said over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 22, the Bible said, whatsoever we ask of him we receive because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Friend, if you want God to answer your prayer and give you power with God in prayer, then you must learn to obey God. So we're looking at these three thoughts in each of these stories. We're looking at the orders, then we're looking at his obedience, and then we're looking at the outcome. In verse number 1, we saw Elijah's orders. God said to him, go, show thyself unto Ahab. His orders involve a proclamation. The proclamation is go and show. And I remind you, back in chapter 17, verse number 3, the proclamation was to hide himself. And I believe there's a lesson that you and I need to learn. It is very important that we hide ourselves with God before we go show ourselves to men. Not only there is the proclamation, but there is a place. The Bible said, go show yourself unto Ahab. And once again, may I emphasize that it is just as important that we be where God wants us to be as it is that we do what God wants us to do. So it's not just a what, it's a where in this matter of our Christian life. Then thirdly, there is the promise of provision. God gives not only the proclamation, go, show, the place, Ahab, but he gives a promise. God said, and I will send rain upon the earth. So we looked at his orders. Then we looked at his obedience. The Bible said in verse number 2, and Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. He simply obeys what God says for him to do. And then on yesterday, we were talking about this challenge, the outcome, the meeting that is there on top of Mount Carmel. Elijah met Ahab. Ahab accused Elijah of being the one that troubles Israel. And Elijah turned around and said, it's not me, it's you and your father's house because you have forsaken the God of Israel, and you're serving other gods. And then down in verse number 19 and 20, he tells Ahab to call the people together, along with their 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the grove. And when they gather, then Elijah presents the challenge to them in verse number 21. The Bible said, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions?" Now notice, here's the challenge. He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The challenge to the people of Israel, the challenge to King Ahab, and the challenge to the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove is simply this. Elijah said to them, your problem is you are serving another God. You have left the true and living God, and you're serving and worshiping the idols of Baal. You have forsaken God's man, God's message, God's prophet, and you brought in all these other 950 prophets, and you're following them and worshiping with their sacrifices instead of staying with the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And so I pointed out to you Elijah's plan. He said, choose two bullocks. You take one of them, I'll take the other. And you dress it, put it on the altar. Don't put any fire under it. And you call upon the name of Baal. I'll call upon the name of Jehovah God. And the God that answers by fire, him we will receive and recognize as being God. They agreed to it. So they take one of the bullocks, give it to the prophets of Baal. They dress it, put it on the altar. They call upon the name of Baal from morning till noon. And they jump on the altar and they cut themselves with lancets and their blood gushes out upon the altar. But there's no voice. There's no fire. There is no answer to their prayer. And then Elijah calls upon the name of God. And I want to deal the rest of the broadcast today on what I feel is a very important issue that I address as we go through this series of studies. And that is, there is a difference in the gods of this world, the gods of man, and the God of heaven, Jehovah God, the God of the Bible. My friend, whether you get an answer to your prayer or not will depend upon which God you pray to. Verse number 36, the Bible said, "And Elijah came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel." Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Many times in the Bible, our God is identified as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now in our day, we're seeing a increase in the talk of other gods. And of course, to cover their sin, their wickedness, they would say that their God is our God by another name. But I want to tell you, friend, that's not true. The God of the Bible is clearly identified in the Word of God as Jehovah. And there are many names that I could mention. Time would not permit me to do so. But the God of this Bible is identified in the Bible. His names are given. His title is given. His authority and power is given. And we must recognize him if we want an answer to our prayer. We must pray to the true and the living God. God said through Elijah to the people of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, serve him. And if Baal, serve him. And I want to put that challenge to you today and deal with that thought on which God are you serving? Which God are you praying to? No wonder you're not getting an answer to your prayer if you're praying to the wrong God. So I want to take these final moments today and ask you the question, how does your God compare with the God of the Bible? There are many other gods. They all start with a small g. They're not deity. They're just simply gods that are created. You see, the difference between our God and the God of this world are many. But let me just name a few. First of all, the God of the Bible died that the followers of him might live forever. But the gods of this world require their followers to sacrifice and to die, so to keep their name alive. And my friend, that's a great contrast. Do you want a God that died for you, was buried, rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave? Or do you want a God that died and you have to die for him to keep his name alive? The God of the Bible had a son whose name was Jesus Christ. Does your God have a son? Is his name Jesus Christ? The Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 4 and in verse number 10, the word of God said, "Be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Listen to verse number 12. The Bible said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." The God of the Bible has a son. His son's name and title is the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his son to die for his followers. He was buried, he rose again, and he now lives to make intercession for his followers. Does your God have such a son that died, was buried, and rose again? Then not only does the God of the Bible have a son, but the God of the Bible has a sacrifice. I ask you the question, does your God have a sacrifice that pays for all sin, for all time, and all eternity? If he does not, then you have the wrong God. The God of the Bible has a son. The God of the Bible has a sacrifice. And then the God of the Bible has a salvation, a free gift of God's grace, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then, my friend, not only does the God of the Bible have a son, and he has a sacrifice, he has a salvation, but the God of the Bible has a spirit that he puts inside those that are saved by the grace of God. And the spirit of the God of the Bible puts inside his followers love, joy, peace. Does your God, does your religion produce inside of you love? Does it produce inside of you joy and peace? If it does not produce that, friend, then you've got the wrong God. The God of the Bible has a son. He gave his son to be a sacrifice. Through that sacrifice, there is salvation for any sinner and every sinner that will come to God through him. And you can be justified freely, fully, and forever by the grace of God. And the God of the Bible puts the spirit of his son into the heart of those that follow him, producing love, joy, and peace. Does your God produce these things in your life? Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoy the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not.